Sheffield Live. Made in Sheffield, made by you.
Do you want to get your message heard? With low advertising rates and great sponsorship opportunities, Sheffield Live can help you reach thousands of local people. Get your campaign on Sheffield Live. To find out more about advertising on Sheffield Live, write to advertising@sheffieldlive.org or call 0114 281 4082.
Yeah, this is the poet Benjamin Zephaniah coming down your radio wire, and you are listening to Sheffield Live on 93.2 FM, friend.
Hi, I'm Eddie Grant, and you're listening to Sheffield Live, 93.2 FM.
Hey, what's up? This is Craig David, and I'm right here on Sheffield Live, 93.2 FM.
Zephaniah coming down your radio wire, and you are listening to Sheffield Live on 93.2 FM, my friend.
You're listening to Sheffield Dawn on 93.2 FM, Sheffield Live.
Yo! Welcome to Sheffield Live once again, you know? And opposite is Amanda McCall, Mr. CV Wagwan!
Right, yeah, everything's nice. A nice, nice evening. But me tired.
Mm-hmm.
I'm ready for go home, go. Lie down on my settee and just catch that little. When they call it no playoff tonight, Holland Millwall.
Who do you reckon will kind of like get? Well, it's just the first leg, isn't it?
It's just the first leg, yeah. But yeah. Hull are at home, so Hull have got to go for it, aren't they, really?
100%.
And
But
obviously, Millwall finished above Hull, so I don't know.
I mean, for both clubs, I mean, if either one of them make it, it'd be a fairy tale still.
It will
story
be.
For them, but.
Why, but it
can't see no weirdness. So.
Yeah, I agree with that. But Hull's been there before, haven't they?
Yeah.
They've been in the Premier before, in the Prems. But, why, could you imagine Millwall in at the Prems? Ooh.
I think if that happened, right, I think that rumour about Sheik would resurface. Because Sheik, it was a strong possibility that he was going to plough some money into them. You know what I mean? The Sheik.
Is it?
Yeah. Was looking at them. See, I know people were chatting about Wednesday this and Wednesday that, and Simon Jordan kind of stoke up the fire, and Captain Moore jump on the bandwagon too, and say, "Oh, Sheik, I got come in." The only thing what he did is just shake up rumor.
Okay,
you know what I mean?
Okay.
That's the only thing what happened there.
I could have shake up two milkshakes as well.
You know? I met that banana too. You know?
Yeah.
Well, sweet talking sport. Straight to the point chat show that deals with the latest sports news and stories with both interviews and drawing an audience that fit today's modern day society, devoted entirely to discussion on sporting events, whether local or whether national. A good to go on air expansive debate and analysed by CV and myself this evening as part of the regular programming. Probably Yorkshire's best talking sports radio chat show you'll ever hear. And you can catch it live on Friday 6 till 7. Or just deal with the archives. If you missed the start, you can restart it and crank it up again anytime you want. Yo! So without further ado, I hope nobody's listening out there, but if you are, you know, I beg you just keep this to yourself, please, you know? And don't tell anybody about this frequency, yeah? Did you catch any of the snooker at all?
No, I didn't watch that, to be honest, no.
I know G did. And I think he got a little bit excited about it as well. I mean, You know, G, if you're listening, I hope say you kick off your slippers and you have your feet up and you just a chill out, you know. But yeah, you have to big up the youth.
So was it in what ended up winning it in the end?
Yeah, 18-17. And to be fair, it could have gone either way. It went to the wire.
Right.
And kind of like Murphy just coming like a bridesmaid again, because I know he's won the world champs once, but he's made the most amount of finals.
Right.
Yeah, he's made the most amount.
And coming like a team that me know. You know, one football team.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know? But yeah, you have to big up Wu, 22-year-old Smaddy, became the second youngest. By the way, the youngest is Endry when he was 21. Yeah. So you take the crown, you know, on Monday night. And it was like wicked. I got kind of like right into it, you know what I mean? And like I said, I think I said before on here that he started playing snooker at the age of 11. He was making breaks, maybe 49 breaks, if I can remember, at 11. 49.
Yeah, I think you did mention that in the last show.
Yeah, yeah. And then, you know, into a couple of weeks, his dad got him a coach, and within a couple of weeks, he was busting all 80s. You know what I mean? So, you know, he's kept up. Pops and Wu moved to Sheffield. I think when he was about, 16 or something. And then just kind of practice hard, you know? And it's kind of like now, kind of like paid off, you know? But I mean, if you kind of like look at the kind of like Chinese players, they've got two in the top five. Wu is ranked, I think Wu's ranked number four in the world.
Right.
You've got Trump, who's one. Neil Robertson, the Aussie, number two. We got Chow, number three. Wu four, and John Higgins from Scotland is ranked number five. So that's the kind of like that's kind of the ranking. So for the second year running, second consecutive year running, we've got a Chinese player to take the crown. Hence, when I said it's going to be pure, in my opinion, pure domination from here on in. You know what I mean? Because like I said, you have two of them in the top five. What's that saying, you know?
It's saying, to me, it's saying that they're producing good players.
100%. And I think it probably kicked on big time when Stephen Endry was on the scene and he was dominating the world of snooker. He went over there. And did some exhibitions, and then them start pick up cues. And now them are just a shake your hand in at the final and say, "Oh, do you do?" You know what I mean? But if you can, I don't know if you can remember this, but it was Ding back in the day who was controlling things, and they called Ding the Dragon. He was a bad player, him Ding.
Okay.
And he was kind of top of the Chinese kind of players. So he's kind of like brought it on, and now it's just kind of like the next generation, you know. I mean, I think Ding, he's won kind of like 15 titles, not world titles, but he's won 15 titles, and he's been at the Crucible 18 times. Yeah,
that's a lot now.
100%.
That's a lot. That 18 times.
Yeah, yeah.
That's a lot.
And then you've got, I think this year alone, you had 11 Chinese players. What was kind of like at the Crucible, or in that kind of in that kind of mold to kind of like cast some badderation and that, you know. And then when you think a bit about it, I mean, what, China, the second most populated country on the planet, 1.4 billion smaddy them, you know, I wrap up and that, you know. So you're bound to kind of like spill over. And even earlier on today, I kind of watched, I think it was one day after Wu Young won the title, I think he was knocking up with a friend and he got 147 brick. I sent that to G, you know what I mean? And it was just, he just did it for fun. And he did that within 8 minutes.
Right.
And I think O'Sullivan has done it in about, I think, maybe between 5 and 6 minutes. But that was in a tournament. But, you know, he was just kind of like I said, he was just potting it for fun. You know what I mean? So, yeah, Yaffe, big up that. And I think for all the work that the Crucible have put in as well, because there was rumours that the Chinese were going to just buy it out and take the world champions elsewhere.
Yeah.
And there is bigger
venues.
Yeah, there is bigger venues, so they could make more money.
Mm.
But I tell you what, I've been listening to a lot of the snooker players, and they're bigging up the Crucible.
Right.
They're saying it's there's no other venue like it. You know what I mean?
It's like
literally the crowd, they're pan tapa yo.
That's right.
You know what I mean?
It really. The Crucible is the Wembley, innit? Wembley of snooker.
I'd agree with that, what you're saying.
It's the Wembley. It's the Wembley of snooker, right? And like you said, yeah, you can get bigger venues, but at the end of the day, them snooker man want to say that they win it, right? They've won it at Wembley. They don't want it, you know. They don't want to, you know. And they said, "Oh, where did you win it? Oh, I did win it in Hong Kong. They want to say, oh, I won it at the Crucible, because that is the pinnacle, innit, a snooker. If you ask anybody who's into snooker, that is the, they'd say, yeah, winning it at the Crucible, you can't beat it." So yeah, I think they've stopped, haven't they? They're not even bothering with it now. If you take it up, because I think the Crucible is now extending itself now.
Yeah, I think you're right with that. Yeah, I think you're right to say that. They almost lost it. I think they did really consider it, and they must have been offered the most amount. I think that's where they were kind of bubbling, really. And then maybe, I don't know, this is just my opinion, maybe pressures from, you know, the snooker players themselves, because they must have asked the players their thoughts, you know. It's just like when they're looking to bring in a rule or change something, they get the clubs in to have a vote, and they go for the majority vote, whether something new comes in or something goes out. So something like that must have happened, I suggest, behind the scenes, you know. So it's there for the Crucible to stay. How many years? I don't know. I think there's something out there. But also, it's like what they do at Wimbledon. Adam have seating arrangement on the banks. They have that outside the Crucible now, just to create a little atmosphere and put up a big screen and all them something there. You know what I mean? So, yeah, I've not been down there myself, but you know, there were the flashes on it on the box, and I thought, yeah, that's kind of like looking good, really. You know what I mean? Fight.
Yeah.
Big scrap tomorrow.
Yeah.
Why am I looking forward to this?
I'm like, gonna take the scene.
Thousands of other people.
Yeah, I'm taking the scene. I'm taking the scene tomorrow.
Uh-huh.
Tomorrow.
I mean, WBO title on the line. And a start is that. I mean, neither one of them. I mean, I know Du Bois kind of like an ex-world champ, but neither one of them, and even Wardley, didn't receive their belts in a ring. It was because it was vacated. That's how they got them. So this is the first time, really, that Wardley would, if he retained it, you know what I mean, literally get it after a fight. Because if you can remember, Usyk vacated it for him to have the belt. You know what I mean? I mean, we'll get to the predictions a little bit later in this. You know, when it gets a little bit kind of like nitty gritty and stuff. But I mean, I'm kind of like what I'm kind of interested in me is how these boy them come across. You know what I mean?
How they present themselves.
Yeah, man. And we're gonna hear a little bit of that right now.
This night in your career?
Very focused, very dialed in, and you know, I've been there before, so I'm on it, you know. And by the way, Fabio, I heard you call me the dustman, and I'm gonna collect the trash, boy.
Wow.
I'm gonna collect that trash.
Wow.
I'm gonna collect that trash.
Huh.
No, it's disrespect, so I'm gonna put it right in the ring, boy. I'm gonna put it right.
Why?
Hello.
No, I heard what you say. I'm gonna bust his bubble anyway.
That's whoa.
Fabio, pick up your mic and reply to Daniel so we can all.
It's my porky beer. Pick up.
Yeah.
My porky, innit?
I didn't call him the. What'd you say, dust man? I didn't call you the dust man. Someone
I'm play
asked
with him now.
As a job, and I said might be a bin man. There was nothing negative with that. Don't let other people get in your head and tell you what it comes across like.
I heard what you said.
You didn't hear what I said.
What you said.
You didn't hear what I said because you don't run your own social media.
All right, I heard.
So you didn't hear it. You let other people talk to you and tell you what you.
No, I heard what you said.
It wasn't like that. I just got asked what job you might have, and I said a bin man. I didn't say it was a bad job.
I play with him in it.
Daniel, have you been rattled at all?
Not at all. I love this fight. This is the world title fight.
Not at all.
Not 100% ready.
He's cool as a cucumber, Adam. Look at him.
Chilled.
I want to get to the media to ask a few questions before we go back to the boys. Who wants to kick us off?
Thanks, Adam. So, I've been working with Daniel now.
Wow.
I mean, do you know, that's just kind of like a set-up thing, that, because, like, Wardley said that he got asked what job would Daniel Du Bois have if he wasn't a boxer. So he said, you know, maybe a bin man.
A bin man, yeah.
Which is totally kind of like disrespectful.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And not saying that job is kind of, you know, is kind of like a rubbish job.
Well, with all due respect, know? That is what he tried to say as well. He tried to correct that by saying, what? I'm not saying it's a rubbish job.
Yeah.
That's what he's saying. So he was trying to correct. He was trying to correct himself there. But really,
we know. He knows. Everybody knows where he's going with that.
Yeah.
I like the response. I'm gonna collect the trash.
That's right.
You know.
That's right. He's going to collect what they in the bin.
I mean, can you imagine if it were us, you know, doing that? It'd be like saying, yeah, I'm going to collect the trash and put it where trash belongs. Carry on and I run up your mouth.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
That could have got a little nasty.
That could have done it. Could have done it. Could have, you know, could have just tell him about his Sin Arena, innit?
Sin Arena.
Yeah, I want to feel. Yeah. Yo, Sin Arena. I want to feel my mother. Yeah. Well, I'm gonna quote, you know.
Yeah.
And just tell you about your Sin Arena.
You know what I'm gonna call it? Don't blink. you know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I drop it like, don't blink unless you have a wink, or you might even end up in a sink.
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean? Uh-huh. If you blink. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
But I just round it off.
That's
you know?
Right. Because you know something.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if them blink, one of them can shrink. You know what I mean? You know what I mean? When him hit the canvas, one of them can shrink.
And I believe that
one of them is going to hit the canvas.
I believe both of them could.
Yeah, because the both of them have heavy thump in it.
Yeah, the both of them have that kind of like.
Yeah.
Heavy weight.
Thump. That's right. Yeah, what time's that fight then?
It'll be
about 10.
10-ish, half 10 maybe.
Yeah.
Depending on the other ones and stuff. I mean, Wardley, 31, never hit the deck.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? 20 wins.
Yeah,
no out losses, of. One draw.
Right.
19 KOs.
Wow.
And then you've got the boy, 22 wins, 3 losses, 2 of them to Usyk and one of them to Joe Joyce.
Mm.
And then he's got 21 kind of KOs.
So they both got decent pedigree, haven't they?
Oh yeah, this is what I like about this one as well, is that both guys are in the prime. It's not like
the player type business like AJ and the other one.
Yeah, it's not like people are saying, oh, these guys should have fought
ages ago.
That stupidness.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
It's kind of real. Big fight. WBO on the line. Either way. I mean, people are saying it just depends who turns up. You know, can kind of like Dubois kind of like manage Wardley if it goes dark. You know what I mean? Like Wardley is known for stretching things out and having that proper kind of brawl. You know what I mean? And it's gonna be an interesting one. I mean, Oliver Spence is saying that 70% of the boxers are taking the juice and all them kind of things.
Right.
You know what I mean? He's come out big with it. And there was a right debate on TalkSport about it the other day. Oliver Spence, you know, stuck his chest out. And I think it was, when I said the other day, it was probably some time ago, because Naz was on there as well. And
I saw the one with Naz.
Naz was trying to defend it. But then it kind of like spun back on him, because Naz admitted it. At first he was saying, oh, no, you kind of, that's kind of dissing the sport, blah, 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 blah. And then Naz went, well, actually, yeah, I've heard something like that.
Mm.
Big boxers. And Spence was saying, well, exactly. You know what I mean? It's out there. And I think, in my opinion, they probably are taking them thing there. You know what I mean? But, you know, there's consequences if them get catch with it.
Correct.
You know, big consequences.
That's right.
And your name will be out there forever.
That's right.
And a deal. People now forget that. You
look
know pan, what I mean?
Look pan for the bend there. And you know, look what controversy came out of his.
Exactly, yeah.
So.
Definitely. Like I said, I mean, you know, if you analyse these two, you know, two bulls them, you know, you've got Wardley who's, well, I'm saying Wardley hard hitting, but both of them hard hitting too. You know what I mean? Wardley never been on the canvas. All except one of his fights. Inside the distance, opponent being stopped. And then you've got Triple D, you know? Dynamite Dubois.
Yeah.
I mean, it's only once have the judges has he done a fight on the judges' scorecard. So for me, but it's not going the full distance. This definitely going to get settled. I'm saying inside the distance. and one of them's gonna get stopped. I tell you what, I wouldn't even rule out a draw, you know.
That could happen.
I mean, the odds for that would favour a pundit.
Mm.
It'd favour a pundit. You'd get a good odds on that. But, I mean, who do I want to win? I like Daniel when he's in his den, or how he carries himself. I've always said that. How he drops them lyrics and that. You know what I mean? It just reminds me of when few people are ready for chat. You know, the lyrics, what he comes out with. You know what I mean? Mm. Yeah, I'll collect the trash. Yeah, I've heard what he said. I'll collect the trash.
Mm.
Just straight with it. You know what I mean? Just fires it out, man. You know what I mean? Would Wardley kind of like... He's got that kind of like that demeanor, that attitude, and
he's got the will to win.
He chats a good fight as well. Do you know what I mean? Yeah,
I quite like him.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because I didn't think he was you know, like other fights that you see, and they're like talking it up and chasing off. I didn't really think that he did that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he does it a kind of like suckle weird, isn't it? He tries to kind of like, he pokes that bear and torments him in a different way. He disses him. And like I said, for me, I just think that's just a setup when he's saying that, like somebody said, oh, what job would Triple D do? That's like... I don't know, like a footballer saying, oh, he shouldn't get Ballon d'Or, you know what I mean? He should be, you know, knocking on another door, you know what I mean? Or signing on or something. It's it's proper dissing, isn't it? You know what I mean? To the max. I mean, knockout ratio, both of them are 9-5s. Nearly kind of ideal. But there's enough kind of needling there to kind of like disturb them, you know?
I would say, right, I might get it wrong, but and you might disagree, but I'd say it's been more the boys what's been doing the needling. That's how I see it. Because Wardley aren't really, it's been the boys coming out with his little one-liners and that, really, what's been doing the cook-up, you know what I mean? You know, when you cook up the pot. Yeah, it's them. Uh-huh. So I think that's what he's been doing. And Wardley's just been saying, oh, so yeah, cook the pot. I go put something in the pot for you. Watch this. Yeah, and that's where all that's come from. When him start talk about, oh, that he'd be a bin man and all them kind of thing. Yes, because you know why? Wardley don't do the peeling. He peel off all the veg. And he put the trash in at the bin.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So, but I'm looking forward to this tomorrow, me.
Yeah,
I'm
definitely
looking forward to it.
Yeah, yeah.
Honestly, I want if you want me to pick up, you know, I want Wardley broke him.
Is it?
I do. I want Wardley broke him.
See,
I do.
You dislike Daniel then?
I don't like how he go on with himself a little bit.
I'm the opposite me. I like that kind of rough talk.
I don't like that. I didn't like
it's street talk, innit?
I didn't really like how he did go on with himself.
Like Wardley's like trying to come across as like the connoisseur. You know what I mean?
He's coming across. He's walling himself right.
Like connoisseur to say, I think you've got that wrong.
Because he's walling himself right. That's why.
He's poking it
He's walling himself with dignity. You know, then the big word there, dignity. That's what he's walling himself.
Did you see the fear stuff?
No, because
with the waters.
Nah, I didn't even see that. Who come with that now? The boy again.
Not Triple D. Yeah.
See what I mean? He come with bought him a spray fountain. You know what I mean? That's what I'm saying. And Wardley's better than that. Wardley's just, he carries himself proper, like man. But the Triple D's coming with his foolishness. Well, I think Wardy will give him a little tears. And he will tear some salt water tomorrow. Yeah.
I'm kind of like swinging for Dan.
But that's good. That's good. Everybody have to. Yeah, everybody, you know? Everybody have to.
I mean, but both boxers are going to be on it. You know what I mean? It's like I said, it's definitely not going to go at a distance. You know what I mean? And you know, it's going to be interesting to see who lands the first
proper
big one.
Yeah, the proper
first big one. What rocks the other one? You know
that's
what I mean?
Right, that's
when you
right.
just hear Adam say, "Oh, and he's rocked him." You know what I mean? You know.
Go and get Mount Vesuvius, innit?
Because I mean Wardley, his face is always getting kind of like broke up on blood and all them. Get them big bump on him head.
Yeah, I get that.
You know what I mean?
I get that. Look him turn away.
I think it's gonna be the CM thing too. You know. You have to buy into this fight. You know, it's gonna be a big one. You know, and like we said, you know, neither one of the guys are past it. You know, you've got kind of like Wardley 31, Dan is what 28, 29, something like that. And then it's like, you know. It's not going to be a tickling contest.
No, for sure.
So, you know,
Rough and tumble, rough and tumble.
Excitement and all them kind of things.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, this trash talk business, I mean, when you think of the game that they're in, the testosterone levels are bound to spill over. You know what I mean? You're taking what? Minimum 6 weeks out, maybe away from your family and stuff, training, yamming hard, recovering, conditioning, weights, ring kind of craft work,
mm-hmm.
sparring partners,
mm-hmm.
Nutritionists are in there. To put your kind of body through that in order to, obviously they're trying to not get tump, but they said that if you're gonna deliver a big one, then you have to be in the line of fire to take one.
That's correct.
You know what I mean?
When you say take one, you have to take it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You know,
because when the other one put it on you, and you start spinning like Zebedee, right? Yeah, you've got to be able to take it.
Mm.
Yeah, so, but like I said. I'm looking forward to this tomorrow.
Definitely.
So and see
well, and anticipated. But do you know for me though, with this one, you know when there's a bit of needle, like with a couple of boxers, you get security tight in at the middle.
Yeah.
And that's something I haven't seen with these.
Okay.
It feels like they want it. Do you know what I mean? You normally get like, you know, even the face off, you might get a security man kind of like just
and put him out.
You normally get that, but you know what?
Yeah.
I've seen them, but in the background,
right?
And it's like they've said, listen, it spills. We deal with it, we mop it up.
Mm.
You know what I mean? And then it puts bums on seats, doesn't it? It sells fights. You know what I mean? So I think that. I think that's kind of intentional. That I think that there's been some things what's gone under the eye. You know what I mean? And they haven't really kind of like dealt with that fairly well. You know, because like that with the water thing and that. I mean, Wardley's saying, yeah, you know, it's about respect. He overstepped the line. Blah blah blah. But there's no. I've not heard anything from, say, the WBO board or whatever to say Daniel was out of order and we're going to fine him for that. Do you know what I mean? Normally, you start hearing a few things. I mean, look upon Eubank. every time him whooping him mouth, isn't it? Yeah, it's like looking a fine.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? I so I'm thinking, you know, where's the authority here now? You know what I mean? Who's saying, yeah, he overstepped the line, shouldn't have thrown the water and all this kind of stuff. But like I said, it's not a tickling contest out there, you know what I mean? People say, yeah, this is the only sport what, you know, you don't play. And I get that to a certain degree. What I mean by a certain degree is that in the past we've seen them scorecards look stupid, and it's like the fight's not how, you know, the general public have seen it. It's some bandooly business and some bandooly scoring and stuff.
So what you're saying, it's not.
I mean, do you know what? Who do I want to win? I want boxing to win this.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
First and foremost, I want boxing to win.
Okay.
You know?
Okay.
And then secondly, I want to see some kind of like, yeah, I want to see kind of Daniel kind of on his throne. You know what I mean? And, you know, I like the way how he carry himself and, or him deal with the media and stuff. You know what I mean? I like them sharp kind of answers. Wardley's coming across like sweet boy. You know what I mean?
He's sweet.
Yeah, coming like sweet boy. Yeah, but with that sting. You know,
I get that. He's coming like sweet boy, but at the end of the day, he's carrying himself good.
Mm-hmm.
For me, he carries himself good.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Whereas I think the boy, he's just going on a little bit because he don't have the same, for me, he don't have the same charisma as
I get that, but that makes some kind of individuals and different, innit? You know what I mean? But he's winning a few more punters across because, you know, he's stringing a few more things together, you know? Which is good in itself, you know? I mean, kind of like, you know, yes, we know that Daniel has got the more kind of experience because Wardley didn't have no kind of amateurs behind him. It was like the white collar business.
I would say Daniel has got it because remember he's been up against Usyk, hasn't he?
Yeah,
right.
A couple of times.
So
and get spanked time.
He has got that little bit more, you know what I mean, than Wardley. But I think Wardley might be able to touch him.
Oh yeah, they'll get touched, you know, without a doubt. And like I said, I feel say both guys will touch the canvas. You know what I mean? Not good at distance. Bit of blood flying around and cuts and all them kind of things. Them corners are going to be busy. It's going to be a busy night. Bit of carnage going off as well. And yeah, it's going to be pure entertainment, you know. And yeah, I'll be there too as well to soak up that kind of atmosphere and stuff. And this will be my second big fight. You know, like I said, back in the days, I went to Eubank and Ben, was it at Old Trafford? That was the third fight when they called it Judgment Day. And that was just boxing never win that because they scored it as a draw. And then this one tomorrow. So me can't wait either for this one, you know? Yeah. Big fight night. Don't blink unless you go wink. Or you could end up in a sink. As I would say, you know. Want to move on to Jack the lad, Jack Grealish. I don't know if you was you aware the other day when him just a lean up in a one rooftop pub in a Manchester.
I don't know about that. I heard some vibes, but he was definitely there when City went to play Everton on Monday. He was there. I could see him sat there.
Did I dear? It was. He went into this pub,
in Manchester, I think it was Stories they called it, one rooftop bar. So we got there, according to reports, got there at 4:30.
Is that in the afternoon?
Got there, yeah, 4:30 in the afternoon. By 5:30 in my sleep. Yeah, and there's kind of all media pictures and stuff with him just fast asleep in the bar. So totally out of it. I mean, people were saying that he needs to check himself with the people around him, because, you know, if you're Jack Sparr, his brethren, his friend, you know, you ain't gonna want him to being like all the news and all the media, you know, the very next day. You know, you're gonna say, come Jack, you know what I mean? You know, I think you've had enough. And they're gonna take care of your spa. But so people are saying he needs to check himself with the people around him. You know what I mean? Kind of failing him. Is Jack also failing himself as well? He's got to take some kind of responsibility for that, you know, without a doubt. Does Jack, the lad, need help? You know, does he need help with his drinking? You know, he likes to have a drink. I'm not saying
he does like to have a drink.
He's doing anything wrong. No. And the other side of the coin as well, people are saying, yeah, but he's injured. Do you know what I mean? You know, he's kind of like popped I think he's done some ligament damage or something. I know he's just had surgery. That happened, 10 weeks ago? Stress fracture. And according to Jack, he's saying that his surgeon said, yeah, he's kind of really happy doing kind of like really, really well, you know? Surgeon's delighted with the progress. So, but they said talk is cheap because Mr. Kipling said, they make extremely good cake. It don't mean that they taste delicious to people. So, you know, but yeah, Jack the lad.
I think that's another reason. Sometimes I just, this is just me, I'm not saying
yeah,
this.
Yeah.
I think sometimes that's the reasons why he didn't get played as much under Guardiola, because he let himself go too much and put himself in surroundings in the public and then showed himself up.
It's kind of like is it sad that he's gone down to that? You know, for the people there just listening live, you know, just go up online and you can see it all over the socials that it was cake tart in Stories in Manchester less than a couple of weeks ago. And like what you're saying, CV, as well, there is probably a bit of truth in that, because them footballers can't hide them kind of thing there. Not do you know what I mean? You know, they'll have a group of them, but we'll like to have a little drinks. You know what I mean? I think the thing with Jack, it's happened too often in the public domain.
And that's what I'm saying. You know what in I mean? The public arena. Yeah, and so people can see it and say, look Grealish, look how Grealish are going and all them something there. Nah, you've got to know when and when to do them kind of things.
I totally agree with that. You know what I mean? Big time. Because I mean the ones that have caught the imagination of the socials, I mean, back in 2016, we're talking here, it was investigated heavily after, you know, there'd been an all-night party. It was at Villa at the time. But I suppose the writing's on the wall. So that was 2016. And then enter COVID 2020, yeah, when he kind of like crashed his Range Rover. And admitted to you know, drinking. So, you know, 2016, then we went to 2020, 2022, a night out in Vegas. And it was a champagne party. You're talking about 68,289 champagne party in Vegas. So they said, what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas, really? Because that was all over the place. 2023, that was when one of the guys, for the people I don't know, obviously CV's a big, massive City fan, win the most amount of silverware. So there were multiple days of celebration. Yeah, what does that mean? Drinking.
It does. Remember, me and you did go to the parade. The parade, yep. And you did see my front of the bus.
Yeah,
he was absolutely gunners.
Yeah, with the champagne, just like, drink it like water.
Yeah. So we can talk because we did see him front up.
Yeah. Oh, God, yeah. And I mean, you know, it was big celebrations because that hasn't been kind of like done before. So yeah.
Well, the treble's been done before, isn't it?
Let their ear down and that. But trophies did that that season.
City won the treble that year.
Yeah, how many trophies did they have?
Three.
Didn't they have four? Didn't they have the other one as well?
What, the charity shield? Because they won that, they won the Premier, uh-huh. They won the FA Cup, and they won the Champions League,
mm-hmm.
Right? They did win the charity shield, but so that's still
silverware.
They do call it silverware. Guardiola always counts it. I don't, but he does.
I think so. I'd go ahead with that, me, because you know it just means that you come back again. It's good for the club and blah blah blah. Good for the fans if they don't get chance to kind of go to Wembley and stuff. Do you know what I mean? So I think it's a good thing. So the most amount of silverware they won. So yeah, that's 2023. And then 2025, you know, there's more. They were pictured leaving a pub in Newcastle. Multiple drinking spots. And it was his day off. So to his credit, he's not drinking, you know, if he's, say, you know, playing a match that day, you know what I mean? I mean, that would be too kind of like, too coarse that, you know? And then, you know, just the other day, 2026, pictured asleep in Stories in Manchester, you know? Like I said, dropped in there, 4:30, turned the hour,
and
drawing some Zeds, you know what I mean?
You see?
Yeah. So Jack the lad, you know? Another kind of sad story here, really. I mean, and this is just kind of like, this is just kind of right. It's just kind of really, really come out. So you got Alex Jimenez, Bournemouth defender,
uh-huh.
Spanish under 21, got a reputation.
Is he a hard man?
Not hard man, but you know, kind of like on the lines of, you know, probably would, you know, get the Spanish full cap if them give out cap.
Okay,
you know what I mean.
Okay,
21-year-old Spaniard arrived from AC Milan, so not a Mickey Mouse team last summer. He'll not feature in tomorrow's game against Fulham. Bournemouth, you know, are aware of a post circulating on social media involving the right back Jimenez. The club understand that the seriousness of this matter, yeah, and it's currently being investigated. As a result, Jimenez will not be included in the squad for tomorrow's game. Yeah. Now, Jimenez initially joined on loan before signing permanently for the South Coast side in Feb. Yeah. Running until 2031.
What team did he come from before?
AC Milan.
So we're not talking Mickey Mouse Club then, we're talking propers.
Yeah. So Bournemouth, right, they're saying that they're not going to really go in on it because they're investigating it, yeah? And they're not really making no other comment. But they're aware of the post. Now, I put my detective cap on, you know, the Colombo business, and there's one more thing and all that, something there, McLeod and Ironside rolling to one, and Mannix. Remember Joe Mannix?
Go on.
Yeah.
I remember all them man them. I'll Banachek.
Schaff as well.
Remember Banachek?
Banachek.
Yeah, I remember him. Yeah.
Nah. Wow. So this thing, this issue now with Jimenez, right? There's been a youth involved, yeah? And that youth is allegedly 15, a young girl, yeah? Oh. And he's been kind of like dealing with some messages on social.
Okay.
So it's all over the place.
Okay.
So that's the reason why for his admission, his stand down, him nah play, nah grab no shirt, nah get no bonus.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Until this is kind of sorted out.
Right.
You know?
So really, it's something that you can't really go into much detail with this because, you know what I mean? Because of what it is, the story, what the story is.
Yeah, I mean, it carries weight and will be, you know, probably airing this next week too. You know what I mean? Because it will come out in a wash without a doubt. You know? Like I said, Bournemouth, you know, them say no further comment. Yeah, them are tighten up, them are lock up, them are now wrap up, you know? But, yeah, like my mother would say on this big, big Friday, me hear something like that. Well, he can't behave himself. You know what I mean?
Aye.
It's true, you know? Yo! Imagine, like, if your mother was to chat to Jimenez now, what would she be saying to him?
I don't know. I mean, what do you think she would have said? Tell me what you think she would have said.
I think my mother would have said, listen, you see the front door is there and the back door is there. Anyhow, you bring police to this house, I'll leave through the front door, may I tell you that?
Oh, Lord.
Yeah. Them big talk and them fiasco business would have happened them. You know the fiasco?
Yeah. Me know when she start tell you about them fiasco, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, I'm put some of them stories up on Netflix, I tell you that. You know what I mean? Yeah. Bestseller them, you know, on Netflix. So, yeah, it's a little bit unfortunate, but Alex, you want to behave yourself?
That's right.
Stop it.
Yeah, stop it. Yeah, you have to talk to him hard.
Definitely.
Yeah.
All right, 1852. Yeah, Sweet Talking Sport. I've got CV here. G just saddle up and arrest.
Yeah, man, chill out, man. Yard, he's chilling out. You know? He's chilling out.
So, yeah, we've got the title. Wago make it. City entertain Brentford tomorrow.
It's tomorrow, yeah.
5:30. City in second place, obviously. Brentford in seventh. I think this is the highest Brentford have been in the Prems, you know?
They've got a chance to get into Europe, still.
Definitely. I mean, you know, City only have failed to score in one of their 9 Premier League games against Brentford.
Mm-hmm.
So that tells me there's going to be goals, averaging 1.4 goals per game. Couple minimum on the cards. Minimum for me on the cards. And Brentford have lost 3 of their last 4 Premier League away games to City.
I've been to all of them.
On paper, it's got a City win, but like we know, no games. Not one on paper. Brentford will be looking to kind of like capitalise on set plays and stuff like that, you know.
I think they've done well since Thomas Frank's gone.
I thought, yeah, they have. And it's like Keith Andrews, from what I've seen of him, good coach.
Mm-hmm.
And some people might not agree with this, because when I heard him chat the other day, he reminded me of Wilder, he said. And I know Keith Andrews was coaching at Bramall Lane as well and learning a few of the ropes.
Okay.
You know, it was like the other day, a match of the day, me and him say something like, I enjoy watching my team.
Okay.
And that's a cut what Wilder uses as well. Mm. I'm not saying that he's copied a few of his traits, because when you're in a coaching game, you pick up this and pick up that.
From different people.
Yeah. And then you have your own personal style. So I'm not kind of dissing him for that, but I like the way I was rolling at Brentford.
I'm going to come out with what I've said to everybody else. With all due respect, whatever, Arsenal should win this league. They should win it. In fact, right now, there shouldn't even be any challenging. They should be done, because that team was 9 points clear. They should be now relaxing themselves, getting themselves ready for the Champions League final, what they've got. But because of they've bubbled up in different periods of time, they've allowed City to get back in there. And even when City got back in there, right, we were still trailing them, because at the end, we were still always chasing all the time. Because this time, they play two games already and get the 6 points. We're still chasing it. So if Arsenal don't win it, well,
I think for me, I got heard away with that, because I know what you're saying on paper. If you're that far ahead, but if you look at it's happened in the Prem, it happens in the Championship, where teams are ahead by, you know, so many points, and yeah, they get a bit nervous and the bubble and. You know, no team has got divine right to win week in, week out. You know, you're there. The league table never lies.
It doesn't.
That's where you deserve to be.
And that's what I'm saying.
And I hear what he's saying, but I just think that's what makes football that kind of beautiful game, what we want to watch, because it's so unpredictable.
It is unpredictable. It's so unpredictable. It's like I was saying today, Arsenal play West Ham tomorrow. On Sunday. Right? So really, City are hoping that West Ham's going to do something. Right? And with all due respect, West Ham should pull up a fight, because West Ham don't want to get relegated.
That's right.
Right? This game could be more difficult for Arsenal than what they were thinking, because obviously West Ham do not want to get relegated. So as long as West Ham don't lose, if it's a draw, Then they say, but City have to do their own business. They've got to win tomorrow.
I can see City winning against Brentford.
Yeah.
And I can see Arsenal winning against West Ham.
There you go, and that's it done.
I think that's the way it's going to go.
Yeah, and Arsenal should win then.
Because, like, you know, it's an opportunity. Arsenal won't want to you know, kind of play safe and that, really. They'll be want to go on the front foot.
Yeah.
And quieten West Ham.
Dig down
West
the crowd, yeah.
Quieten them down.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
But like I said, there's a possibility, right? Because like I said, it's going to be a little bit harder than what I thought, because West Ham need to win or they need to draw. They can't afford to lose.
Yeah.
Because it's relegation then if you lose.
Well, they're relying on the results then, aren't they? If they lose.
Anyway.
If they lose and Spurs lose, it's you know.
Mm.
But like with Arsenal, I mean, the last two visits to West Ham, they've bust the most amount of goals. I mean, 2023-24 season, it was 6-0
to Arsenal. There you go.
And then last season, it was the one there, 5-2.
There you go.
So it's got written all over it. I think both teams will pick up maximum points tomorrow. Listen to Sweet Talking Sports. It's 18:59.
All right.
And we're nearly out of here. We've got into the last minute this show.
Hey, I just want to say, well done to the Manchester City's women for winning the league.
Yeah, well done. Big up them.
WSL champions.
See it there. You said that you'd hope that they'd secure that.
Yeah.
Did you watch the game?
What happened was they needed Arsenal to not to win, right? and Arsenal drew with Brighton 1-1, and that's how City, that's how the women won it. I watched them against Liverpool when we beat them 1-0 right in the last minute goal. So yes, big up the girl there.
Hey, I hope you've enjoyed the ride. I hope you've been locked in, you know. And whatever
until
you're
next
doing
week.
This evening, make sure so you behave yourself out there. So
that's right.
And that goes out to you and you and God knows who.